There will be no victory without valor for the soldier. There will be no wreath without rigor for the athlete. There will be no harvest without hard work for the farmer.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The essence of Christian service is the substance of Paul's message in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. We've seen several things in this distillation of Paul's principles of Christian service. We saw the qualification of a servant in verse 1. He must be a son and he must be strong. We saw the occupation of a servant in verse 2, the preservation and the transmission of truth to others also. And then we've been seeing the illustration of a servant in verses 3 to 7. And Paul has been teaching us that a Christian servant is like a soldier, verses 3 and 4, by which he meant to teach us that he's willing to suffer, endure hardness, he's willing to separate. No man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this bios, this biological life, he invests himself instead in spiritual life. And he is willing to serve, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. And then we have seen as well that not only is a Christian servant like a soldier, that's one metaphor which illustrates the phenomenon, but he's also like an athlete, by which he meant to teach us that there is in Christian service an element of rigor. He must strive. If a man also strive for the masteries or compete in the games, he meant to teach us that there is rigor, strictness of life, severity of life, often attached to the phenomenon of Christian service. He meant also to teach us that there is regulation. If we are to strive appropriately, then we must strive lawfully. If we do not, we will forfeit the crown. Not only is there to be rigor, but there is also to be regulation. And then the Bible says beyond that, that if we strive lawfully, rigorously, and according to the regulations, there will also be reward. The Scripture says if we do not, we will not be crowned, but if we do, we shall be crowned. And there is a place for reward in the Christian experience, and our Lord is very specific on that subject. Now we come to this last metaphor, and Paul says in verse 6, the husbandmen are literally the farmer that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. He says quite literally, the farmer must work hard before partaking of the fruits. That would be a literal rendering of the Greek New Testament. The farmer must work hard before partaking of the fruits. And I would suggest that five words describe Paul's emphasis in this metaphor of Christian service. Maybe I can share them with you briefly. I think Paul means, first of all, to teach us that the farmer works strenuously. Then he means, secondly, to teach us that the farmer works patiently. And then he thirdly means to teach us that the farmer works constantly. And then fourthly, he means to teach us that the farmer works in obscurity. And then he means, finally, to teach us that the farmer works triumphantly. He does partake of the fruits. There is a goal. Now, what has Paul taught us here? Paul has taught us a whole host of lessons in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, which reflect, this passage really, reflects in essence the distilled essence of Christian service. And he's taught us many lessons about Christian service in this passage. But in reality, he's taught us only one lesson. What has he taught us? He's really taught us only what we should have known all along. He's taught us what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You see, the call to be a soldier, the call to be an athlete, the call to be a farmer, what are they? What does it constitute? All of it is nothing other than a call to follow Jesus Christ, to be what we had purposed to be when we first came to Christ. Jesus Christ, I will follow you. We heard the voice of God speaking to our heart. The Word of God was preached and proclaimed and disseminated and shared with us in an intelligible fashion. We heard the voice of God through the Word of God as the Spirit of God spoke it to us. And it was summoning us to come after Christ, to follow Christ. Paul is saying, I'm telling you only what you should have known from the beginning. I'm telling you only what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means to be his soldier. It means to be his disciplined athlete. It means to be his hard-working laborer, his hard-working farmer. You know that concept of following Christ, it's a precious concept in the New Testament. I wonder if I might identify several elements that attach to it as I close out this series on the essence of Christian service. There's a special word in the New Testament that Jesus used when he summoned men to follow him. And that same word is used to describe them as they began to follow Christ. The word is akaluthane, and it appears on numerous occasions in the New Testament documents, particularly in the Gospels. Jesus was always summoning people to follow him, to akaluthane him, so to speak. The very word to follow places upon the Christian the responsibility to be an obedient soldier, to be a joyful slave, to be a humble and responsive inquirer, to be a loyal citizen in the new kingdom, to be an attentive and an obedient student. The very word means that. In the New Testament, following Christ, doing what Paul describes there in 2 Timothy 2 and verses 1 to 7 in different terms, in the New Testament, following Christ was always preceded by a forsaking. There is no following, no genuine following without a forsaking. That's why repentance is inherent in the salvation decision. In the New Testament, following was always preceded by forsaking. So we're taught that Simon and Andrew left their nets and they followed him, Matthew 4, 18 to 20. They forsook all lesser loyalties to follow Jesus Christ. James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat and they followed him, Mark 1, verses 19 to 20. Matthew, at the time of his conversion, while sitting at the receipt of custom, as a tax collector, left everything, rose up, and followed him. Luke 5, 27 and 28. And those words for left, they left something behind. They left their fame. They left their fortune. They left their family. They left everything behind. Those words for left are used of death or expiration in the Bible. They describe death to an old way of life and life and introduction into a new way. They speak of a decisive break with the past, and a refusal to allow family or fortune to intersect our loyalty to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to follow Christ. Do you know that in the New Testament we are taught that following Jesus Christ gives at least two things? Following Christ gives light for here and now and glory for hereafter. Following Christ gives light. The Bible says, he that followeth me, there's our word, akaluthane. The word does not occur in 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7, but the concept does. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, John 8 and verse 12. To walk alone, maybe you're without Christ, you are walking perilously alone. To walk alone is to walk in the darkness of uncertainty and the oblivion of confusion. But to walk with Jesus Christ is to be sure of the way and to be safe in his company. We have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then, not only light for the here and now, but glory for the hereafter. If any man serve me, let him follow me. There's our word, akaluthane. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. It means to follow Jesus Christ is to be certain of ultimately arriving at the glory where he himself is. The eternal glory at the end of the way far outweighs the hardness and the suffering and the difficulty in the midst of the way. To follow Jesus Christ gives us two precious gifts at least. It gives us light, which produces life here and now, and it gives us the certainty of glory hereafter. But you know, there's a sad realization in the New Testament. We're taught that a man can refuse to follow Christ. That's what the rich young ruler did. You read about it in Matthew 19, 21 and 22. The rich young ruler refused to follow Jesus. The result of his refusal was that he went away sorrowful. And that is always the lot, always the consequence, always the circumstance of a man who has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who has refused to respond to his summons to follow him. He will go away sorrowful. There may be a temporary mirth. There may be a momentary pleasure, but there will be eternal and temporal devastation. He will go away sorrowful. So Paul has given to us in this passage, and I've only sought to summarize it there in these last few moments. Paul has given to us in this passage an example of the essence of Christian service. His very life, as he writes his last epistle, 2 Timothy, his very life teaches us what it means to follow Christ. His zeal and his zest, I wonder if we have it, his zeal and his zest, his almost obsessional devotion to the work of Christ cannot be overlooked. He possessed the wholehearted dedication of a soldier. He possessed the law-abiding obedience of a good athlete. He possessed the painstaking labor of a good farmer. He learned early and he learned well what you and I must learn, that there will be no victory without valor for the soldier. There will be no wreath without rigor for the athlete. There will be no harvest without hard work for the farmer. There's a message for us in 2 Timothy 2, 1-7, and the invitation and the summons to follow Christ. Do you know that you're saved? Or are you lost and unsaved, and you know it? Then let me ask you something. Are you prepared to endure the endless and intensive sorrow and emptiness that comes with the refusal to follow Christ? The refusal to respond to that summons and that invitation, that command? I wonder if you'd be willing to respond to Christ's invitation, leaving all behind, forsaking all lesser loyalties to come and follow him. And he extends the summons, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want you to know that the weary search for God and the weary search for peace and the weary search for truth ends in Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest." Will you follow him? And then, are you in the family? Have you been born again? Do you know the Son of God? You really are saved. Then here's Paul's word for you and me. What kind of a servant are you? Are you like Peter, who in the circumstances of the crucifixion followed, but afar off? Some of us follow Christ afar off. What was Peter avoiding? Peter was avoiding the dangers which confront a soldier. He was avoiding the rigors which confront an athlete. He was avoiding the labors which confront a farmer. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, but how do you follow? What kind of a servant are you? Do you follow afar off? Or maybe you've laid it all at the feet of Jesus, the whole of your life. You've asked him to use you for his glory. If you have, you will be immeasurably enriched as a Christian.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.